that she didn't trust herself anymore. She recalled the phone calls, the emails, and worst of all, the scene in the office, and she shuddered. She'd been made a fool of, but she knew she'd been a fool too, and that was hard to take. She put the tickets back in her bag. She had the right date. She wasn't a complete idiot, no matter what other people might think. Although the trip had been booked 9 months previously, she'd totally forgotten about it, until the direct debit for the balance had resulted in her account being overdrawn. She hadn't even realised she'd gone into the red until her bank card had been declined at her hairdresser's. It had been one more humiliation, added to all the others. Naturally, she'd burst into tears again. It had been Gavin who'd first suggested taking the car to France. Confessing a need to drive a stylish convertible along some decent motorways before people judged him a sad old fart and passed comments about his virility and the size of his penis. Deira had laughed when he said that and wrapped her arms around him.
"Nobody would think that of you, ever," she'd told him. "They wouldn't dare."
Because Gavin Boyer looked at least a decade younger than his 57 years. True, his hair, once even darker than Deira's, was now almost entirely silver-grey. But that only made him appear even more distinguished than when he was younger. He was still tall and broad, and even if his waist was thicker than it had been in his 20s and 30s, he'd managed to maintain his athletic build. Rather unfairly, in Deira's view, he achieved this without any great effort, other than golf twice a week, and an occasional visit to the swimming pool of the nearby gym. "Metabolism," he'd say airily, when she complained that at 17 years younger, she put on weight simply by looking at a packet of biscuits. He made no comment at all about her monthly trip to the hairdresser, to have her own increasing number of greys covered with an approximation of her natural chestnut brown. Definitely not fair, she thought now. But life wasn't fair, was it? Because if it was, she wouldn't be standing here with a rapidly cooling cup of coffee in her hand, wondering if he would set the police on her when he got home. She took a sip of the coffee. There was no need to worry. He wouldn't set the police on her, because he wouldn't know that the car was gone until the end of the following week. And even then, he wouldn't know she was the one who'd taken it. Besides, even if he did suspect her, she'd be miles away, and there'd be nothing he could do about it. Interpol would hardly worry about a missing car, after all. She shook her head. Car thief, Interpol. None of that was part of her life. France was supposed to have been a holiday for both of them. Their original plan had been to explore Brittany for a few days before heading to Paris. Deira had told Gavin that if he was going to indulge in his dream of open-top cruising down the motorway, she wanted to be able to say she'd driven around the French capital in a sports car with the warm wind in her hair. When he'd looked at her in bewilderment, she'd explained that one of her late mother's favourite songs had been the haunting Ballad of Lucy Jordan, in which a 37-year-old woman feels so trapped in her life that she knows she'll never get to do just that. When Deira was old enough to understand the lyrics, she'd sympathised with Lucy Jordan and wondered if her mother had ever felt the same way. Now approaching her own 40th birthday, she'd visited Paris on a number of occasions, but had never driven an open-top car around the city's streets and had never particularly wanted to, until the day they'd collected the convertible. Until recently, she would have felt enraged at the notion that any woman would feel washed up by the age of 37. But she'd come to realise that there was more to it than how you felt. And she knew there were things she'd previously considered unimportant, that she'd never have the chance to do. And that, more than anything else, was why she'd cried every single day for the past 2 months. She glanced at the clock again. She knew she was cutting it fine. It was a 3-hour drive to ring a skiddy, and she was supposed to be at the ferry terminal 40 minutes before the ship sailed. Unless she was going to abandon her plan, she had to leave now.